next on BYUSN. With the Cougars' first season in the Big 12 finalized, we hand out some awards today for best play, team, game, newcomer, and player from this past year. Eric Meek is in studio to discuss what's left for men's hoops this offseason and how quickly the Cougars can gel and return to the NCAA tournament.
Jordan Tiffany and Mickey Strauss of BYU Swim and Dive are here to talk Olympic trials prep and what's it going to be like to be in a pool inside a football stadium. Plus, our best quarterback bracket features John Walsh versus Jim McMahon. Oh, yeah.
Is Taysom Hill going to upset Gifford Nielsen? We'll tell you later in the program. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, June 12th. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is mascot personal trainer Jason Chip.
For those that have not seen the pictures on social media of Cosmo staying fit.
Shredded.
Just absolutely shredded. I cannot tell you the joy that it gives me.
He's got abs. I love it.
To see Cosmo with abs. like that
great.
Just gives me such a smile. I just love it. My question is, does he always have the abs under the shirt? Or is it only when the shirt is off?
Oh, is it like... Like, if I have my shirtless version, I have abs. That's, if I don't, it's just
well,
whatever.
I mean, there's only one version of Cosmo.
Right. the true and living version of Cosmo. Okay, let's look at the picture again.
Okay. All right. Okay, so obviously the shirtless Cosmo's abs.
And look at those arms, too. Like, just absolutely.
If I'm being honest, looking at those arms makes me think I'm looking at your arms.
Yeah, right. Upper dorsimus, as Ron Burgundy said in Anchorman. Just getting after it with the boys. That's a football team in the indoor practice facility, putting in that offseason work, getting ready for Big 12 play.
Impressive.
Oh,
impressive, Cosmo. Very impressive.
I'm not even mad. I'm actually impressed. All rise and shout. It's time for what's next.
Wolston stops, takes the three, and hits it!
Gotoa goes far post, and off the post and in!
And right through the hoop, Dallenhall!
Coming over to make the play is Orange, wow!
Pop for the touchdown! The game is over! The game is over! The Cougs have won it!
I'm juiced. Can we play some games already? That's been spectacular. This week, we're breaking down year one in the Big 12. We did it on Monday. We'll do it again Friday in our Big 12 Roundtable. And today we hand out some awards from the first season. So we begin with Game of the Year. Here are the nominees. Women's Soccer against North Carolina in the Elite Eight. The 3-0 comeback to win 4-3 dramatically to go to the College Cup. That was incredible. How about Men's Basketball at Kansas, the win in Allen Fieldhouse. Softball at Oklahoma, who just won their fourth national championship in a row on April 12th. When BYU beat them. Football versus Arkansas was a big early season non-conference road win for the Cougs, coming back down 14-0. Women's Hoops, you called this game on BYU Radio, taking down number 18, Baylor. These are the nominees. There have been some great games.
Yeah, and it was really fun to put this list together and then discuss, and then we have our own opinions and where things will go. It's interesting, too, because my own personal answer on this probably changes just based off of the way that the category is titled. Because I have spent so much time... Yeah, it's the game of the year.
As opposed to win of the year?
As opposed to best win of the year. Mm. To me, those are two different things.
To me, it's the same game.
Okay.
I'm a little biased on it.
Okay, and I think I know...
Is that called the game? Is that
we,
a lean?
I was going to say, should we get to the winner then?
And the winner is...
Do we have an envelope?
Yeah, bring it up. No. Women's soccer. Women's soccer wins. This is clearly... the game of the year. Like, there were some other great wins that we just chronicled. No offense. This is the Hallmark movie comeback with the snow falling. Are you kidding me? Down 3-0 in the first 19 minutes, Shep. They advance to the College Cup. Like, a minute and a half, they get the game winning goal right here from Olivia Wade Cato. More on that play in a moment. What a moment. This was the Miracle Bowl version in another sport in 2024. It was amazing.
Women's soccer... This they were dead in the water. Like, nobody comes back from that deficit.
Against that team?
Against that team with that amount of time. It just doesn't happen. And then one goal. And then two goals and then three goals. And it's not just, if that happened in a preseason game, we're going to think it's unbelievable. But the fact that it happened in the postseason and everything that it meant, and certainly against the team that it happened against and their head coach. And
Vincent Dorrance, just, the GOAT. Who, by the way, North Carolina had knocked out BYU the year before.
Yes, absolutely.
And
I called that game in North Carolina.
There you go. Speaking of
radio,
next time send me. Let's go. We'll do it together. What a win for BYU. And that's not to take away from the others. It was just in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
We're talking about, like, if men's hoops was down 20 to Kansas in the NCAA tournament in the Sweet 16 or something, or the second round, that's the level of craziness we're talking about in a certain stage. Women's soccer has also proven that they are top-notch here at BYU.
Yes, yep.
The College Cup 2 years prior to that, going to the national championship game. Unfortunately, it was so emotional, Shep. It was going to be hard to replicate that in the next game.
Yeah.
So we don't really care. You get to the College Cup, that's amazing. We do want BYU to win the Natty one day in women's soccer, and they're a program that can totally do it. But let's be honest. That was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
So,
and without question, the game of the year.
Game of the year. Women's soccer beating North Carolina.
All right, so we go from the game of the year to the player of the year. And here are your nominees. Speaking of women's soccer, Brecken Mozingo, the Mack Herman Trophy finalist. Obviously, it's the equivalent of the Heisman in football.
Big time.
First team All-American, earned and deserved every bit of that. Lauren Gustin from women's basketball, passing Tina Gunn for BYU's all-time leading rebounder. That is a record that Tina Gunn held for 44 years.
Pretty good.
Lauren Gustin, yeah, she was just phenomenal. Jackson Robinson from men's basketball was the Big 12 sixth man of the year in the Cougars' first year in the conference. The indoor distance medley relay team, obviously winning the national championship with a time of 4 minutes and 27 seconds.
That was awesome.
And then Whitney Bauer of women's volleyball, the rally era assist leader for BYU. So those are your nominees.
Yeah, and we both had fun watching several of these athletes in person. You were with Lauren Gustin all year with women's basketball. I saw Whitney Bauer every home match. The national championship is pretty good, too. Jackson Robinson, leading scorer off the bench. That was really unique and deserved the sixth man of the year in the Big 12. He had 25 in the NCAA tournament. Like, he was awesome, man.
Yeah.
But Brecken Mozingo, like 14 goals and 15 assists. Her imprint on everything BYU did was incredible. Former UCLA transfer. During the year, she started to loosen up a little bit. Jennifer Rockwood told me one time on a call, she's starting to smile now when she plays. She was just very serious and dialed in, right? So some great athletes at BYU. We could have had 15 on this list. We kind of had to narrow it down to five-ish. But what a list, man.
Well, and should we just get to the winner?
Let's get to the winner.
Let's get to the winner. It is Brecken Mozingo. Yes, of course.
What a year.
What an unbelievable...
A drum roll.
An unbelievable season for her. And I realize that this doesn't have anything to do with her college career, so to speak. But she ends up being the fourth overall pick in the NWSL. Obviously playing...
That plays into this.
Plays in her hometown of Sandy.
Pretty awesome.
Being able to play with the Utah Royals. But she did everything that BYU needed her to do and more. And we did talk, you know, we mentioned the Mack Herman Trophy, and that is, it's the equivalent of the Heisman Trophy. And so we were going through all these, and like if a football player had been a finalist, then that probably elevates them up. So like there was no way that we were going to give this to anybody other than Brecken. Everything she needed to do, she did.
And if we had club sports in this conversation, Wyatt Perry of men's rugby won the Rudy Scholes, which is the National Player of the Year.
Right.
So he deserves at least a verbal mention. I see you, Wyatt, who's probably going to be drafted in Major League Rugby. So, great players of the year. Congrats to Brecken Mozingo. Okay, next award. Newcomer of the year. This could be a freshman. This could be a transfer. There are more newcomers than normal with the transfer portal now. Let's walk through the nominees. Kaylee Woolston, women's hoops. How good was she, man? Freshman from Lone Peak. Averaged 13 a game. Big 12 honorable mention. Led the country in three-point shooting, 48.6. Shout out to Sister Woolston in Baltimore, or is she in the MTC right now?
I believe she's in the MTC right now.
Okay, there you go. Jordan Tiffany, swimming with the men. Transfer from Tennessee, Big 12 100 champ in the butterfly, 100 free runner-up, first team all-conference in those two, and the 200 IM, All-American honorable mention. How about Ellie Walbrook? Third leading scorer with the 11 goals. That leads most people. Yeah. The UCLA transfer scored a goal against number one UCLA, which is pretty awesome.
It really stinks that she's not going to be available this year. Oh,
she tore ACL and she's out for the season. That one really hurts.
That one hurts.
Oh, man. Okay, Ali Khalifa. He was amazing. From Charlotte, a transfer. 4 assists per game. Best passing big man in the country. How fun was it to watch him pass? Cooper Jones, men's golf. Freshman from Lone Peak. Won the Bridgestone Intercollegiate with a score of 7-under. He was awesome. And Brinley Anderson, gymnastics. Freshman from Orem, Utah, beam worker, put up a 9.95 against SUU on March 4th, 9.8 or higher in 13 of the 15. How about these newcomers? They were tremendous.
Yeah, and I'll start with women's basketball. And what Kaylee Woolston did as a freshman was extremely impressive. Her ability to score and certainly her ability to shoot is what everybody will remember. And look, her and Amari Whiting were sort of thrust into a much more prominent yes. role than what they were anticipating because of the early injury to Nani Falatay, and then ultimately she ended up leaving the program.
So you have this freshman backcourt.
So you have this freshman backcourt, and then both blossom, but Kaylee, she was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, we do have Jordan Tiffany on this show coming up a little bit later
yes,
on
we do.
Today.
Yes, we do.
Do you think there's pressure that maybe he needs to win this because he's on the show today?
We're going to give it to the newcomer of the year, and the winner is... Jordan Tiffany, men's swimming.
Has nothing to do with him being on the show.
Has everything to do with it.
He earned this.
No, we invited him in as well because the U.S. Olympic trials are coming up this weekend. We'll talk to Mickey Strauss as well from the diving team. You walk into the Big 12 in year one.
Yep.
It's not the MPSF before where you had a couple of teams. There was some domination from BYU there. He wins the butterfly. And he's the 100 free runner-up. Like, right away, just sets the tone.
And after leaving Tennessee, wasn't sure if he was going to swim anymore.
What a story.
Like, he could have been done. And then comes back to BYU and does what he's doing now and has a chance to go to the Olympics.
That's the hope, is that you get significant transfers, ideally Power 5 transfers, and then they blossom.
Yep.
You'll get them from wherever, but if you can get a dude that's from a Power 5 that has something to prove? Wow. So he ain't scared. Came in right away. Let's go.
All right.
So congrats to Jordan Tiffany, newcomer of the year.
Team of the year. And this is fun. We will start with men's basketball. Men's basketball exceeding everybody's expectations in year one in the Big 12, 23-11. They picked to finish 13th in the preseason poll. Finished 5th ahead of Kansas. We know they won at Kansas, the only team to do that all season, winning in Lawrence, ended up being a 6th seed in the NCAA tournament. Just an unbelievable year for men's basketball. Here's another soccer reference. Women's soccer going to the College Cup. I think that speaks for itself. When you play in the championship game, you were certainly in the running for team of the year. Men's cross country, 3rd at Nationals, back-to-back podium finishes at Nationals, finished 2nd in the Big 12 championships, and then the women's cross country winning the Big 12 title. So those are your nominees for team of the year.
It was fun to watch a lot of teams be already prepared and ready for the Big 12. Now, did BYU bring home a slew of Big 12 team championships? They did not. I believe the only one was Women's cross country. And then they were disappointed, frankly, in taking 14th at Nationals. They felt like they should have been a little higher there. But overall, awesome. Like, men's hoops is the surprise team of the year. If we had that category, they would win that, no doubt. We did not expect men's hoops to come out of the gates like they were. And now they hope to continue that momentum, right? This is a running school. It's an all-everything school, but it's a running school, man. BYU's done tremendously. But women's soccer in the College Cup, going for a 2nd time in 3 seasons. Incredible season.
Yep, and your winner is... Jeremy just said it. Women's soccer going to the College Cup. Women's soccer is BYU's team of the year.
Number one seed, number one ranking in the regular season after beating number one UCLA. The NCAA tournament again, built on the Sweet 16 from the year before. The year before that, they were in the College Cup, went to the national title game. Fell to, was it Stanford? No, Florida State. Trying to remember.
Yep.
In the semifinal. So, the North Carolina game really, really carries all of that. And what a year, man. What a year. So congrats to women's soccer, the team of the year. That one was very tight. All of these are tight. That one was tight.
Yes.
I could see an argument for several teams in that one.
And that's what has made this last year fun, is that not only did you have all of the Big 12 excitement, but then you had some of these teams that did great things that added to it. And, yep. Oh, not only are we winning, but we're also winning at this higher level now.
Yes, and I don't want it to be obvious what the winner is.
Right.
I want there to be so much competition yes. that I'm not exactly sure, except for women's soccer, with the North Carolina game. That felt like pretty obvious. Okay, play of the year.
This one's going to be interesting.
This one's a little different because we're going to make this our question of the day. And let you answer it. By the end of the show, we will declare the play of the year. We put this out on social media yesterday. If you haven't voted already, you can vote on X and Instagram. Weigh in on your play of the year. Here are the nominees. The game-winning goal by Olivia Wade-Katoa versus North Carolina. Again, this is the Elite Eight, down 3-0. BYU's tied at 3-3. She scores the game-winner. She puts her hands all over her face because she got emotional. I asked her after the game, did you realize what you just did? That's the biggest goal in BYU history. She said, I knew right away, and I got emotional.
By the way, how about the fact that
huge play.
Having the snow falling, too, it just adds to it.
In the moment, I was looking around. It's December. It's almost Christmas. My wife's watching every movie on Hallmark. I said, this is like a Hallmark movie. Just snow coming down.
It
Pack
just
Stadium,
added to
Elite
the whole
eight,
atmosphere.
Come back. Like, it was a beautiful thing. It really was. Okay, Downhall's 3 at Kansas. BYU's coming off a loss to Kansas State. They're unranked. They're playing at number 7, Kansas. BYU's up 68-66 with 1:33 to go. This made it a 5-point game. The step back off the switch on Hunter Dickinson, one of the highest paid players in college basketball.
You've been talking the whole game.
And Dallin Hall ends Kansas. That was such a big moment. Oh, my gosh. The greatest play of Dallin Hall's life up to this point, because the next greatest play is coming up this year.
I like the way you're thinking.
Softball, Ilana Agbayani. This catch in foul territory in the win against number 2 Oklahoma State. Look at this. Crash into the wall and the tarp for the grab.
Just full speed. Look at this.
Amazing. She stayed in the game, was down for a minute. What a catch for softball as they pulled off a huge upset over number 2 Oklahoma State. Darius Lassiter's catch against Texas Tech. BYU was up 14-7, 31-yarder. If BYU had a EA Sports College Football 25 cover of its own, it would be this catch.
And he'd be wearing the bib.
No. Get out of here. That catch is so good. Darius Lassiter. Okay. And then another football catch. Chase Roberts. The touchdown catch against Arkansas. He's doing the jump man. BYU's tied 31-30. They need a play. The one-handed catch by Roberts in the end zone for the touchdown to beat Arkansas 38-31.
To make that catch and then still get the foot down. Look, I talked to Chase Roberts about this about 2 weeks ago for an upcoming episode of the Deep Blue podcast. And he said, I knew I had to make a big play because previous to that, he had fumbled the ball and he was down on himself. And he's like, I have got to make a play to make up for that and help my team. And boy, did he.
Yes, he did. That's great stuff from Chase. Those are our plays of the year nominees. You can vote on Instagram and X. We will name the play of the year at the end of the program, so go and vote on that. Again, Olivia Wade-Katoa, goal versus North Carolina, Dallin Hall's 3 against Kansas, Ilana Agbayani's amazing catch against Oklahoma State, Darius Lassiter's catch against Texas Tech, and Chase Roberts' TD catch against Arkansas. Weigh in on X and Instagram. We will tell you the winner later in the program.
All right, up next, Eric Mika shares his expectations for the Kevin Young era of BYU men's basketball.
But first, we'd like to take a moment to recognize the life of veteran play-by-play broadcaster Steve Klauke, who passed away yesterday after being hit by a truck Monday evening. Klauke was the longtime voice of the Salt Lake Bees, calling nearly 4,200 games over the past 30 years for the AAA affiliate of the Angels. He was also the voice of Weber State Wildcats football and men's basketball for the past decade. Steve joined our broadcast family this season, calling a handful of baseball games on BYU Radio. Shep, we got to know Steve. This one hurts.
Yeah, no question. I was pretty close with Steve. I've known Steve since 1997. When I got my start in this business, it just happened to be at the same radio station that Steve Klauke was at. And from day one, he never treated me as anything other than an equal. And our friendship has meant the world to me over the last, you know, countless decades that I have known him. Yesterday was a tough day, and I certainly feel for his family, his wife, and his two kids. He was a great man and a great friend to me, and he is certainly missed.
A number of years ago, I asked Steve if I could just shadow him at a Bees game and just watch him call a game, and it was a spectacular experience. It was fun to see how he called a game and his preparation and his notes, and he gave me some good feedback on a scorecard I had, and man, he was really, really good. And it's an absolute bummer. We had plans to continue to use Steve with BYU baseball, and unfortunately we will not be able to do that now. Steve Klauke passed away at the age of 69. Here's one of his final calls.
3-2 payoff pitch. Swing and a miss and a fastball. He struck him out. Rising shout. That is the final out. Cougars win.
You can count on already being here. However, we were trying to add some high-end talent to that as well. The thing I love is the shooting and the IQ and the experience.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. I'm Jerem Jordan alongside Jason Shepherd. Who's your favorite G League Ignite player besides Scoot?
Besides Scoot?
Yeah, besides Scoot. Scoot Hims.
Yeah, probably Eric Mika.
Eric Mika is now our next guest on BYU Sports Nation.
Why am I?
Of the former G League Ignite.
Don't exclude, don't say except for Scoot.
Well, we're assuming that Scoot is our favorite.
Why? I know that. That's right. What I'm taking.
Right. Scoot's our favorite. With. Who's our next guy? You're our next guy. That's what I'm joking.
I'm leaving.
Eric, how you doing, man? What's
going
on?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back here, not in a computer screen. You guys
have been
just
no
calling
Zoom
me on Zoom. Person. Yeah, this is way better.
This is way better.
It's good to see you.
A little more personal,
faces.
Right?
Yeah.
To hang out on the nice, comfy blue chairs.
You guys smell nice.
Do we really? I don't believe you.
It's probably more me than him.
Yeah. Let's inform the people. So
cool.
G League Ignite are not a team anymore. What's your future like? Are you retired? Are you still playing? What's going on? You're doing the podcast, of course.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just hanging out right now. I'm going to Chelsea games in London.
I know, dude. That was awesome.
I'll only bring that up because I know
you. Yeah, I know. I would like to go one day.
No, so Ignite dissolving was a bummer. I would have loved to play with them, you know, till the end of my career. It was a great situation. Nice to be close to home. I love the staff. I loved, like, what we did outside of just playing, you know, at a pretty high level. You're also mentoring these young guys and kind of helping their first step into what pro life is. I think regardless of whether they continued or not, I would have been done. My knee is just not happy with me anymore. So I've had a handful of knee surgeries on my left knee, and I just think at this point it's not worth, you know, pushing it and not, you know, being able to just do regular life things if anything else goes wrong. So, people are like, oh, so Ignite being dissolved, does that mean you're done playing basketball? I'm like, well, no, my knee being, you know, in the shape that it is means I'm done with basketball.
So is this a retirement announcement?
This is, I
we
guess,
do something official?
No, breaking news, Eric Mika retires from basketball.
I don't
want to
do anything official.
And then we'll send out an official press release after.
Correct.
Yes.
And then when I unretire.
Yes. Just no. All
you do need, something again.
All you need to do is fax out, I'm back.
Yeah.
Like Jordan.
Just like Jordan.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
What did Tom Brady do?
I don't know. Just showed up.
It is more along Michael Jordan's wave, though, because I've been getting into another sport. So my baseball.
Oh.
Do you know? You know. Rowing.
Rowing. But if you follow Eric on Instagram, you know
that's all
the
I post
daily
about.
Rowing.
That's all I post about.
So how? How and why?
We're not talking in the water.
No.
We're talking in the gym.
No, but I'm going to get in the water.
Are you
but
really?
In the gym.
Boys
you know,
in the Boat.
Yeah, Boys in the Boat. Best book ever. Movie's okay.
Could have been better.
Could have been better. Yeah. How do you go in that, you know, deep into like the stories that were in the book? You can't, there's not enough time. Anyways, I started doing it basically because my older brother was doing it a couple years ago and he started telling me his times. And so occasionally I'd get on the urge.
What's his name again?
We're going to talk about him.
Okay. That's
Alec.
Alec. Yep.
But before we hype him up, let's throw him under the bus again.
Oh, perfect. Quick. Perfect.
So Alec started doing it because his father-in-law had a machine, and so he started telling me these times, and so like casually I'd hop on and try and beat them, and they were really hard. Like rowing is not fun.
Yeah,
your whole body just kind of feels sick by the end of it.
Make your back look amazing though.
Your back, but you're also working like 80% of it should be your legs, and like your core is killing. So, just like a tough workout. So essentially, it's low impact on my knee. And so as I was recovering from my surgery, I was like, this is what I can do. And then it's just continued on. And I'm like, well, why not beat Alec at
and compete? not just be in the gym.
It's the competition. Exactly.
Compete. Yeah, there's like an. It's kind of like Peloton. There's a community. There's an app you can log in. It'll track your times. I have the number one time in the world right now in the 500 meter.
Are you serious?
For this year. I mean, not like
this ever. Year. For this 500 year. Yeah. Number one in the world. What's the time?
It's 1:17. So it's fun because I'm competing against myself. You know, it's me versus me, and it's really a tough workout. But you're also kind of getting some feedback, like, oh, I'm keeping up with other people too. Alec deserves a shout out though. He feels like he got ripped off.
The last time we had Matt Schneck on talking lacrosse.
Every time Matt Schneck comes on, I get mentioned. My two other younger brothers get mentioned. Alec never gets mentioned.
Alec, sorry, bro.
He got
mentioned. You're getting a lot of mention now.
A lot of airtime, more than he'll ever get the rest of his life.
Yeah, this is kind of the peak of the mountain. But this is the peak of it's a good day.
He got playing time as a freshman and he won a national championship. That was 2010-11 season, I think. Mm. So the previous championship before this past year, which was awesome.
Shout out Alec.
Shout out Alec. Shout out
lacrosse.
Matt Schneck.
Champion. Let's go.
All those things.
When you say 1:17, is that an hour and 17 minutes?
No, 1 minute and 17.
1 minute.
Yeah, 500 meters. Yeah.
Wow.
I've done
500 meters in a minute and 17.
I've done
rowing?
Hour rows, and those are the worst thing. Like if you really don't like yourself, go do an hour rowing workout.
It's like Jared Ward, we're like, hey, what is it about marathoning that you like? He's like, I don't, I hate it.
Yeah.
Like it's so hard. I'm like, why do you do it? He's like, I don't know. I just love.
Yeah.
I love that hate relationship.
You feel so good after. You feel like you actually really improved your body and your mind. You know, I can't compare anything I will ever do to marathon runners though. Like
that's incredible.
The pace they're running. It doesn't make sense. How many? I have a question for you guys. Because what's that pace for like a 2 hour marathon? It's like 5.5 minutes or 5 minutes?
They're running like a.
Or sub five or something.
They're running sub five. Sub six or something.
How many people in the world can run a sub 5 mile singular?
I know I can't.
I mean, I like
right?
100,000.
Connor Manson, Clayton Young from BYU 50, in the Olympics.
50,000.
Right?
No, I'm saying one single mile. Like there's not even that many
people. Single mile.
And then they have to go do it for 26 miles. It doesn't compute.
It doesn't.
Me.
Pretty insane.
Ty Haas went and just like ran a marathon a couple months ago. I was like, bro, are you crazy?
Well,
he wants to compete.
He ran a 450 mile when we were here at BYU.
He was that athletic.
He and
that's how he got up and down all the time.
Yeah. No, he was. And Coach Rose had this like mile conditioning test preseason. And the bigs had to get under 6:30 and the guards had to get under 6, which is like doable, but you have to be in pretty good shape. And everyone did it. Everyone except for one person. If you don't do it, you have to keep doing it weekly until you can do it. So that person.
After the interview, you tell me.
No, I'll say it here. It was my roommate, Frank Bartley.
Frank Bartley the fourth.
He could do it. He just, I don't know.
He just didn't want to.
He was just against it. Yeah, it was like his
like a principle.
Yeah.
I like Frank. He's one that got away.
He was the best.
Would have loved Frank.
Yeah. And he's doing great. But
it's awesome.
He ran. He would have to wake up like weekly with Cody Feger and go to the track like until he passed. It was like November or December he finally passed it. But once a week, he had to wake up at like 5 and go do this. So we were like, Frank, you can do it. Just do it. And then he probably got it in like 5:59.8. So we ran a mile, and Skylar Halford and Tyler ran the mile in 4:50.
Mm, that's incredible.
Yeah. Athletes. And those guys are Energizer bunnies. Yep. So
Skylar lives literally like 12 houses away from me now.
He's the best.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Kevin Young.
Yes.
I saw you interviewed you at the introductory press conference.
Yep.
Everybody has been beyond thrilled with how this tenure has begun.
8 weeks today, by the way.
What's been your thoughts watching this all unfold?
Crazy 8 weeks. Like crazy. I am as impressed as everybody else. What I love and what stands out to me, you know, I've been around Kevin. We've had a lot of conversations. I'm in the annex a lot, and I also, you know, went down the path of potentially coaching. And so we interviewed and got to know each other like in those early days. And one, I just love his demeanor. Like he's, I don't know, maybe comes across as serious, but what it is, he just loves hoop. Like he doesn't care about anything else. Like he wants to get in the gym and work guys out. And that's what I love about him. And I would guess that's why all these NBA players love him too. Like they can really pick out a guy that loves being in the gym, and even if he's a head coach, like he's the type of head coach that will probably go rebound for you at 1 a.m. if you're going through a shooting, you know, slump. You know what I mean? And guys will play for that. They'll play hard for guys like that. So I really love his demeanor. You can tell he just loves basketball. He doesn't care about like the hoopla or the the, you know, anything else that seems like a bit of a show that comes naturally with sports at this level. Like, he's not intrigued by any of that. Like, he wants to win basketball games, which is great. I also love how he's built his staff. Like, I think they probably have the most unique staff in the world as far as their global reach, which I know you've talked about before. But also, it's just very professional. It's NBA-like. You know, like, he took what he could and made it as NBA as possible, because he's seeing this wave that all of us are seeing. He's saying, hey, this is no longer college and amateur. This is professional. And our coaching staff needs to reflect that, and he's done that, which is amazing.
Well, and I think something that really stood out to me about his comments last week when he met with the media about his staff, he talked about the fact is, like, these are guys that I'm so thrilled to have here. It's like, and in most cases, I was going to reach out to these same guys if I'd gotten an NBA job.
Right.
That should speak extremely highly about the type of staff he's put together here in Provo.
Yeah. No, really impressive guys. I met Tim right as he got on campus for Father and Sons camp.
The time, you say friend of the program.
Right.
And then they hired him.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was a friend of the program. He was a counselor.
We're finishing the paperwork.
Yeah. But we have a lot of mutual friends from his time in Maccabi and just Europe in general. Mm-hmm. And coach from San Antonio or
Bill Austin. Voight.
Yeah, Bill coached one of my Ignite teammates from year one. Sidy Sissoko, who got drafted by the Spurs. So I checked up on him through Sidy, and he said he's awesome, really likes him. So, yeah, I'm impressed by the staff and you know, without even talking about the players, right? Like, we have very, very capable players with room for even more improvement. So, you know, I think it's a recipe for a very exciting year.
It's super exciting, man. Thanks for coming in. I think we could have talked with you for 30 more minutes.
That's it? We're done?
We're done.
That's it.
I talked about rowing for about 40% of the time. That was my goal, though. So,
way to just talk about rowing. Hey, now we know more about rowing now. Follow Eric on Instagram. You get all the updates. We appreciate the time, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Eric. All right, listen to part two of the latest Cougar Tailgate podcast featuring BYU football sports information directors Brett Pine and Duff Tittle, whose new book, 100 Years of BYU Football, is on sale now. Find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Up next, what is three-time Super Bowl champion Andy Reid's favorite place on earth? That's, a tease for Brigham, right? And which Cougars trying out for it? Reid's Chiefs. Plus, Phil Steele has a couple Cougs on his all preseason Big 12 teams. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, and Instagram, as well as YouTube and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jeremy. He's Jason, who will be on the row at your local gym.
I gotta see how I compare to Eric now. Now that I know, what do you say?
Seventeen is the fastest 500 meter time in rowing in the world this year.
Okay, so I gotta see for 500 meters.
That's amazing. I would walk 500 more. Let's get to today's headlines.
Thank you, Chumbawamba. BYU basketball. Speaking of BYU basketball, updated its roster online. There are now 12 players listed, including two walk-ons, those being Jared McGregor and Townsend Triple. The Cougars still have two scholarships available. The first week of summer workouts is currently underway and runs through tomorrow.
I was referencing the Proclaimers. But yes.
Oh, yes. Yes. What is Chumbawamba then?
I don't know. I get knocked down, I get up again.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Rocco Miller reports BYU will host Florida A&M on December 20th. So here's a look at the updated non-conference schedule with 8 of the 11 games reported. Central Arkansas on the 5th. That'll be your season opener on election night. Queens on the 13th. Idaho on the 16th of November. And then you have a combination of two of these three, Purdue, NC State, Ole Miss in San Diego on November 28th and 29th. At Providence, December 3rd. Florida A&M mentioned December 20th. TBD date on at Wyoming. And three more non-conference games still to fill up.
To the National Football League, former BYU defensive lineman Jackson Cravens received an invite to Kansas City Chiefs minicamp yesterday.
Well.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't accept?
Who wouldn't want that?
Who wouldn't want to go play for the three-time Super Bowl champions?
Why don't you just tell me the team you want to play for?
Thank you, Cosmo Kramer. Already in Kansas City, a second-round draft pick, Kingsley Suamataia, who, by the way, has been getting most of the first team reps at left tackle.
At left tackle, how about that?
There you go.
ESPN ranked the most influential football teams of all time. Bill Connolly, friend of the program, did that. BYU's 1984 national championship team landed at number 19 on the list.
Four Cougars made Phil Steele's preseason All-Big 12 team. Tyler Batty made the first team. Jack Kelly and Jacob Robinson made third team, while Waylon Lapu'ahu made fourth team.
Surprised not to see Ben Bywater on there, maybe. We'll discuss that perhaps a little more tomorrow. Those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it. Cougar Whip Around is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
All right, let's start with this one. Per College Football Kings, CFB Kings, BYU is tied for 22nd in wins in the college football playoff era.
So the last 10 years.
Exactly. Where would you project BYU lands in the same poll in 5 years?
I'm hoping in a similar spot, because what that was for BYU was 7.8 wins per year. Mm-hmm. I would love to be in the 8-ish wins a year space. Now, if you go 5-7 like BYU did last year, at some point you got to give me a 10-win season to offset that that average. But I would hope BYU would be in that space. Realistically, if BYU is a little lower and they have 70 wins, an average of 7 per year, perhaps it takes a second to get into the Big 12 and evolve and get to the 8-win-plus space. But I would love to see a 9-win season in the next couple of years from BYU.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page with that. I would say right around the same. You know, honestly, give or take, either way, 2-3 wins more, which we would certainly take, 2-3 wins less. I can, if you're in that range, I think you're doing pretty well.
Go 70-plus, but give me a 9-win season in there somewhere. Andy Reid told the Wise Guys that BYU is the greatest place on earth. He loves BYU. Shep, you really like Disneyland.
I do.
Is
there
BYU
2 weeks ago
better than Disneyland?
Oh, of course BYU is better than Disneyland.
But if you're wearing a BYU shirt at Disneyland, is that make it BYU for you?
Well, look, the
Provo
Cougar
extension
at the rope drop to get into Disneyland one morning.
You tweeted
the
this.
The Cougar fight song broke out.
That's so on brand.
We were singing the Cougar fight song at the rope drop.
That's
at
great.
Disneyland. That's all you need to know.
That now joins the...
And I'm not just talking about my family. I'm talking about a group of about 20 people.
It'd be awkward if it was just your family and you brought it up like that.
It'd be very awkward if it were just me.
Which still could happen. That joins now socks and sandals, tunnel singing, and running with a backpack on for the on-brand outside of Provo moments that I'm like, wait, is that a BYU?
One of the best things is when the song broke out, there was a guy in the background. I was like, oh, you could hear him. I love that song. It was great.
What?
It was just great.
Not a U, not an Aggie, for sure.
All right, tune in this Friday for a BYU Sports Nation Big 12 Roundtable special as Jerem Jordan is joined by BYU TV analysts and BYU coaches, recapping BYU's first year in the Big 12 and looking ahead to year two. That's Friday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, Jordan Tiffany and Mickey Strauss from BYU Swim and Dive are in the house. These are all Big 12 dudes headed to the U.S. Olympic Trials. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Jerem Jordan, not a swimmer, alongside Jason Shepherd, who swam in high school and still dreams of going to the U.S. Olympic trials. But our next two guests are actually doing that. They are Jordan Tiffany and Mickey Strauss, a swimmer and diver from BYU. Welcome to the program, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any recommendations for Shep to join you one day?
My,
or is the dream day?
My day of actually being able to compete are far over, so you don't need to give me any tips.
Go Kearns Cougs.
Kearns High School, yes. Kearns, go Cougs as well, but yes.
Okay, U.S. Olympic Trials coming up this week. How stoked are you guys to be going there?
Yeah, super excited.
Or sorry, next week for you guys.
Yeah, I leave on, I think, Monday, and super excited. Dream come true.
How about you, Mickey?
I feel great. I mean, it's my second time going. I went back in 21, and so this time it's just, I'm ready to go for it. So
fewer masks this time, I imagine, and COVID protocols.
Dude, that was 21. Unreal.
Yeah.
Does it help having experienced it before in terms of like nerves and what to expect, that kind of stuff? How much do you think that helps?
I think it helps out a lot because like my first time I was just super shell-shocked. And then, but like this time come around, I'm like, it's another meet. I'm ready to do it, so.
It's going to be fun because it's at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, home of the Colts. Hopefully Blake Freeland of the Colts from BYU will show up. They're putting a pool in the football stadium. And it's not just the pool. It's like the locker rooms are underneath. It's this big deal. Like, what have you guys heard about this?
Yeah, pretty sweet. So they used to have a basketball stadium in Omaha.
which was where BYU played Duquesne in March Madness, by the way.
Right, yeah, pretty cool. And they wanted to upgrade a little bit. So I think they're supposed to be 30,000 fans. They split the field in half. Mm. So they have, like, the competition side on one half, and then, like you said, the warm-up, warm-down pool, the athlete village, all
We're talking
like
multiple
that.
Pools.
Yeah, yeah, there's probably three. So they're, like, the main one and then kind of two smaller ones on the other side where fans can't be and stuff like that.
And it's super legit. It's not like the rickety pool at the rec center.
Yeah.
This is like
I hope
legit,
so.
Right?
We'll find out.
You bring any one of those above ground pools.
Yeah, good luck diving into this, Mickey. Yeah. Okay, so you've been there before. What are you hoping for? What are you expecting the second time around, Mickey?
That's a great question. I mean, just hopefully going to semifinals. I mean, going to the Olympic final would be great. I mean, the dream is to go to the games at one point. And so, I don't know. It's just something in the air, and I'm ready to go for it and let the best thing happen. So,
is it hard to tuck all the hair in the cap there?
Oh, see, I don't go with a cap.
Oh, you go uncapped.
Yeah, so
Swimmer, you got a cap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I kind of just use my chamois and just make sure it curls up so it stays out of my eyes.
It looks good. Let's go.
Appreciate
so Jordan, for you, I mean, we've had you on the show and we've talked about your story, and we were even talking about this earlier. By the way,
we named you.
Yes. I don't know if you know this. You were the newcomer of the year.
In all of BYU athletics.
In all of BYU athletics.
We named you that earlier in the show.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Had nothing to do with you.
Congratulations to Jordan Tiffin.
Awesome. We were super impressed with what you did. So that actually plays into what I wanted to ask you. From going from transferring from Tennessee and wondering if you were going to continue to do this to where you are now and going into Olympic trials, what does all of this mean to you?
Yeah, so when it got postponed, and I was training through 2020 to go to trials in 2020, and it got postponed to 2021, obviously. And then that year before that, I was at Tennessee. So when I finished my season, I was done, so I didn't really have a chance. And I never thought I'd have a chance to go to the Olympic trials, which is just the dream. Every kid dreams of it. And I never had that. So, yeah, this is super meaningful. I always went to Olympic trials with my parents to go and watch. And I always expected to be there, but I never really got a chance. And so just to have a chance is an awesome opportunity. Super grateful.
Do you guys cross over when you're there? You're going to get it?
No,
out?
So I'll be in Tennessee. I'll be at the University of Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee's mm-hmm. doing the diving.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
We're here to learn. Let's go. You did 14 years of gymnastics
yeah.
and then switched in high school
uh-huh.
to diving.
Yeah.
What was that like? And are there any gymnastics sort of movements that aid you in this process?
Yeah, so honestly, just flipping in general helped me out a lot. But the hardest part for me was going from my feet to my head. And so that was super tricky for me to do at first. But yeah, like my mom dove in high school, and then she reached out to her old coach, and then we found the club team here at BYU. And then I just didn't look back from there, so.
And your dad competed at Utah?
Mm-hmm.
Were you Ute growing up? Did you like Utah?
Yeah, and so it was our
You converted,
family,
congratulations.
So. But yeah, so he ran up there, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And the fam will be decked out in Cougar gear?
Oh yeah.
Supporting you?
Either Cougar gear or red, white, and blue, because we're big on that, so.
There you go.
Hey, you yeah. know what? Is there's some real patriotic moments throughout the year, the U.S. Olympic trials. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be awesome. What are you hoping for and expecting in terms of what you do in Indy?
Yeah, like Mickey said, I mean, he already had that experience in 2021, which is kind of nice. This is my first time, and I want to go out there and soak it all in, have fun, and kind of get a feel for it. I'll be training through 2028 because I still have a lot of eligibility left through 2027. So I just want to take it all and have fun. Especially kind of having the journey I've had, knowing that swim can end at any time and you don't get all these opportunities. I want to have fun and enjoy it because I haven't done that a lot of my swim career and I don't have too much longer left. So that's my goal.
So for both of you, you know, let's go down this road. Things go like we all hope they go. What's the process then after these next couple of weeks?
So, I mean, for diving, I don't know how it is for swimming, but for diving, they only take two people to the games in every event, and then there's like one synchro team. And so I have like 40 guys, and so they narrow it from 40 guys down to two.
Oh, wow.
And so it's, yeah, it'll be fun. I'm excited for it, but yeah. And then, yeah, just gearing up for the games and just getting ready to represent Team USA.
How much is, how much of a fan versus like a fellow swimmer are you when you watch the Olympics? Because swimming's one of the funnest events, any
yeah,
of them.
Yeah.
Like, especially relays. Like,
right.
So fun.
Yeah, I'm a total fan. I've been a swim fan since I was a little kid. And so even going to Olympic trials and I'm competing against these guys, but I also kind of idolize them a little bit. So it's a weird dynamic, but I'm excited.
That'll be cool. And then, okay, when we're watching diving in the Olympics, we're watching for like Minimal splash? What are we looking for here, Mike?
Yeah, so yeah, basically just minimal splash, and then just how clean they look in the air, and then how quiet the diving board sounds.
Okay.
When they land on it, if you hear like a loud bang as they're like pushing it down, that means something's a little bit off.
Something was off.
So yeah, it's like being quiet, being tight, and small splash.
I did not know the quiet of the board.
Okay,
that's good.
We'll keep an eye on it. U.S. Olympic swim trials, Indianapolis and Tennessee coming up for Mickey Strouse and Jordan Tiffany. Thanks for coming in studio.
Thank you,
guys. Congratulations on newcomer of the year.
I didn't know that. Thank you.
Yes, awesome. And we'll give you the BYU Sports Nation karma to take along.
Good luck.
Along the way.
We'll be watching. Thanks, guys.
All right. On the latest episode of the Deep Blue Podcast, I'm joined by former BYU running back Curtis Brown, who talks about his time on the football field and his conversion to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
After the break, who's moving on in our best BYU quarterback bracket? Did Taysom Hill pull the upset off over Gifford Nielsen? And today's matchup between Jim McMahon and John Walsh. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
McMahon, number 9, is the quarterback.
A big play for John Walsh in the BYU offense.
Jim McMahon, who broke all sorts of passing records.
John Walsh been very accurate.
BYU Sports Nation on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps or listen to the podcast while you're there. Subscribe, rate, and review.
All right, let's put a bow on this show with our best quarterback bracket. In June, we're nailing this, trimming this down from 16 to 1. We're going to nail down the best quarterback in BYU history according to your votes on X and Instagram.
All right, in the recap of yesterday, yep. It was Gifford Nielsen versus Taysom Hill. So it's an 11 seed Taysom Hill. It is a 6 seed Gifford Nielsen. Moving on to the next round is Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill, first 67% upset.
67% of the vote.
That's what I thought would happen. And yes. Gifford Nielsen is upset by Taysom Hill. Okay, today's matchup, 2 seed Jim McMahon and 15 seed John Walsh.
All right, Jim McMahon played at BYU from 77 to 81. You may have heard of him. Passed for over 9,500 yards and 84 touchdowns.
Amazing.
As a Cougar. He finished 5th in the Heisman voting in 1980, 3rd in 1981. He left BYU with over 70 passing and offensive NCAA records and still holds 10 of them. Today, he was drafted 5th overall by Dub Bears in 1982 and won Super Bowl 20 as the starter. Played 15 seasons in the National Football League.
He, to me, is the greatest quarterback in BYU history. We'll see if the fans think so. John Walsh played at BYU from 91 to 94, nearly 10,000 yards passing, 73 touchdowns. You forget this dude had those kind of numbers.
Yeah.
Passed for a still single game record, 619 against Utah State, unfortunately in a loss. Threw for 454 and 4 touchdowns. And a win in the 94 Copper Bowl against Oklahoma. Fun fact, I broke my collarbone that day. 7th round pick to
fun
the
fact.
Bengals in 95. Not so fun, I guess. Go to X and Instagram to vote. BYU Sports Nation, you decide who moves on, Jim McMahon or John Walsh. Our question of the day, who do you think had BYU's play of the year? We gave you some options. And the winner of the play of the year in BYU athletics is Chase Roberts' touchdown against Arkansas. I wasn't sure that one was going to win. That's out of left field for me a little bit.
Honestly, I thought it was going to come down to Dallin Hall's step back three or Olivia Wade Katoa's goal. I thought it was going to be one of those two.
Like he did against Arkansas at the last minute, made a great play. Chase Roberts.
You cannot argue about the type of play that it was.
It's hard to argue against that. Yeah. Our Elite Voice of the Day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated at 2-6 Schemo on X. He was at the BYU-Arkansas game, said he or she, I'm not sure, sorry. I saw him go up for it, and I didn't think there was a chance at all that he would come down with it. There was a collective, no, he didn't, when we realized it was a score. Today's Rise and Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics, to Jerry West.
Yeah, the logo.
Passed away this morning.
Yeah, unfortunately, passing away this morning. Big 12 connection, obviously played at West Virginia. They were obviously not in the Big 12 at the time. And an interesting sort of what could have been in 1973, we talked about Krešimir Ćosić being drafted by the Lakers. Had he played, he would have played with Jerry West towards the end of his career.
In his last year, it would have been Jerry West's last year. So Rising shout out to the logo, Jerry West. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. For Jason, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Kirk Williamson. Go Cougs! We'll see you tomorrow on BYU Sports Nation.